Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 52 of Magic FM. I'm Gabby Sparks, one of your hosts today, joined by Mashi Scanlon, our other host as always. Mashi, welcome to episode 52! Yay!
We did it, Gabby. One year.
Incredible.
The books. It's crazy.
I know. I was yesterday or the other day, I was telling Raptor they were like trying to plan something special for 52. He's like, that's already been a year. Because he remembers when we just started.
It's crazy. So is Raptor still paying rent somewhere else?
Yeah, he is. I mean, he has a condo.
I use a mortgage then. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's just like living here, but still has his place. And it's just kind of sitting there. He checks it out every once in a while to get his mail and stuff.
That's smart. That's smart. So look, I'm always telling people to check out Magic FM, the video version, right? If you listen to the podcast, hit subscribe. We appreciate that. But you need to watch the video. And for everyone watching now, I just want to set it up. Just watch Gabby because she's double fisting a ginger ale and a cup of coffee. And she's going to go back and forth.
I've been criticized heavily for this today.
we're doing the pre-show run up and she drinks a ginger ale. And Gabby, by the way, you're so pro about this. The way whenever you drink something, it's perfectly framed. Like you kind of turn to the side and then you drink, you know, and so you can see exactly what it is. And I just watched her. She took a sip of ginger ale. I'm like, oh yeah, we have that diet ginger ale here too. Still talking. All of a sudden, a cup of coffee comes up. I'm like, whoa. Ginger ale and coffee with cream. If it was black coffee, I'd kind of feel better about it. But there's some kind of, not cream.
It has some almond milk in it. Yes.
Yeah. This is what you miss not watching the video.
So it's true. Okay, so in the video version, you can also see we've got some nice garlands to celebrate our 52nd episode. So technically, the Magic FM anniversary was October 15th. That would have been the 1 year of it launching. But we took 1 week off this year. And that was the week that we were at Regional Pro Tour Phoenix. So technically, this week is 1 year of episodes. So that's what we're celebrating today. Super exciting. Can't believe we're here, honestly.
It crept up on me. Did it creep up on you?
Yeah, totally. Especially when we were like trying to figure out what we wanted to do special for this episode. Yes. And we're like, it's okay. We still have some time. We'll figure it out. And next thing you knew, it was episode 52. And we're like, oh, snap.
So now's a good time to remind everyone. We do have a celebratory event tomorrow, 1 p.m. We're playing Among Us.
Pacific,
1 p.m. Pacific, doing Among Us. If I can figure out how to stream, I'll try. But I think most everyone... Is Luis streaming?
I'm not sure if Luis is streaming it, but I think a lot of the people who are going to be playing will be streaming it. It's going to be a special Among Us event. And we gathered CFP podcast co-hosts to play a murderous game of Among Us in space and do chores. Our squad includes Dennis from Scrimmy River. Yeah. Riley from Scrimmy River. Jamie from Ponder Podcast. Mashi and I from Magic FM. Luis from Multiple Resources / Magic FM sometimes.
Multiple resources. Yeah. Okay, I like that.
Corbin Hustler from Brainstorm Brewery. Rosa Thorns, DJ, also from Brainstorm Brewery. We have Eric Levine from General Grievances, and we have Jeff Still, who edits a lot of the podcasts. So he's part of the
producer Jeff.
Yes, producer Jeff. Yes, he is definitely an honorary podcast member. So that's going to be happening tomorrow. If you want to, I guess it'll be. I'm going to see if I can get the episode out today so that to give people a heads up. That's what I'm going to try to do. Yeah. Because I was going to say, usually it'll be out at this time.
Oh, that's true. That's right.
Yeah. I'll get it out today. Episode 52 is coming out today, baby.
Look, we know that AOC got 400,000 watching the stream.
Oh my God.
I think that's a good target for us to aim at. You know, I mean, how do we feel about it? I mean, it's the same game, Gabby. It's the same game. All she was doing was playing Among Us. So
the AOC stream was so incredible because I can't imagine. She has so much grace and poise, and I can't imagine fumbling through my first game of Among Us with that many people watching. Like, I get anxious just thinking about it, and I'm a full-time streamer, or, you know.
Have you ever spent time around someone that you really think has that kind of grace and poise?
In person?
Yeah, dude, in person.
Hard. It's hard. It's hard to get somebody who's that, like, graceful and, I don't know, not often.
It's really interesting. there are certain people I've met either, you know, through like, you know, living in LA or even practicing law, a lot of
I can imagine lawyers being just like that. Yeah. And like so effortless.
where you make your hay with being graceful and having poise is when you fumble and how it's handled. Yeah. And that's the really interesting thing where truly graceful, because when you script it out, it's not that hard. Any of us can follow a script, and especially if there's an edit button, no problem. But you got to think about, you know, politicians like AOC, she's on the floor talking live. C-SPAN's covering her 24. I mean, at this point, C-SPAN and every freaking media outlet in the world's covering her 24/7. Right. So she better be able to yeah. spit it Mashi, out live.
We think you and I are good at talking, and I think we are. Like, not to take yeah. anything from us, but we've got nothing on
nothing.
Her.
She's unbelievable. Yeah. She's unbelievable.
So but cool.
What an amazing, you know, like, worlds collide moment.
I when know. I saw this, it was just wild. We ended up doing a watch with my stream. Like, I wasn't live. I was just hosting. But because there were so many people watching on her stream, like, you couldn't actually chat. So on my channel, we were hosting her and we could chat on my chat. And it was so cool because we got to, like, it felt like we got to experience this thing together. It was really, mm-hmm. felt like a generational thing. Like, it's one of those things that people are going to keep talking about for a long time to come. And it was so cool to watch it live.
Yeah, it's definitely, it was... yeah, it's a phenomenon. It's a phenomenon that we're going to talk about, and we're talking about it here. But it's unbelievable, you know, being a gamer, being a person of color, for you being a woman, and being in this political state that we're in. And there's different ways we can all feel seen. And this is just a moment where, like, it's like AOC is doing it. We're doing one because that's how we want to celebrate, right?
Yeah,
and I know. You and Luis and so much of this community, so much of this gaming community, and so many people who are listening to us or, you know, watching us, they play this game. And maybe they do know who AOC is, maybe they don't. But for those who do, having her do this, like, engage in a game like this that seems trivial, that seems crazy, just kind of makes you feel, like, seen.
I felt very seen. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I felt very validated in many ways. It was just like, look at how cool this game is, and I can't believe this is how we're getting out the vote. Like, that's so amazing.
Yeah. And it's that moment where someone powerfully delivers that message in a way that you understand and that you can hear, and you're like, whoa, wait a minute. She's speaking my language.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was cool.
Unbelievable.
It was really, yeah, really
what
neat.
A moment. What a moment.
Speaking of celebrations, though, one more thing before we go on to more stuff on this episode. You know, this is our 52nd episode. We were pretty excited about it because, I don't know, a lot of podcasts don't continue. So getting to episode 52 felt like a true milestone for us. So to celebrate, another thing that we wanted to do was do a big giveaway. We wanted to do an exciting giveaway. And the giveaway was going to be, or is actually, for a box of Eternal Masters that Mashi very generously provided. Thank you, Mashi.
My pleasure.
And so we drew a winner this morning, and it's going to look like the most rigged giveaway in the whole wide world, but this is what happened. If you're watching the video, I know. If you're watching the video, you can see the drawing that we did. But the winner was @Synthetica, friend of the podcast. Always submits questions, and it was really awesome to see Synthetica win this. So we will be contacting you, Synthetica, with your box of Eternal Masters, which we'll be sending soon.
Gabby, I told you, you know, you couldn't just pick your favorite listener. That's not how these things are supposed to work.
It's going
to
look so rigged.
It's like, how many times did you run this? Like, no, 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 no. Oh, here we go.
There you go. We got him.
I did personally reach out to Dennis and inform him that he had won, but that we, you know, rerolled it again. So, you know. And I said, isn't the feeling of winning just better?
Yeah, you know? Look, just so you know, you won. That's all you really need. So congratulations, Synthetica, on winning our 1-year giveaway. We'll be reaching out to you soon. And thank you for listening. And thank you for engaging with the podcast. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, what an awesome, I mean, I know it feels weird, and like, obviously there's no fixtures, it's totally random. And in fact, it's probably better for us,
a podcast, sure.
to get someone different. But I was so happy when you showed me the winner. And it's not just engaging, like, listening, great, you listen, thank you for listening, and you submit questions, thank you for submitting questions. But the questions and the engagement have always been positive and great. And so I was just I was extremely happy.
Yeah, no, I thought it was awesome. It was just funny when I drew it because it's just from like one of those websites that picks a random retweet from a tweet. And as soon as I saw it, I'm like, oh my God, this is going to look so rigged.
This is true. Gabby, it's inappropriate because there might have been an expletive in there, but it was like, this is going to look so bleeping rigged, Machi. Look who won. The message I got on Slack. So, but congratulations. This is awesome. And it's so wonderful to be able to celebrate our 1 year with you, Synthetica, and with everybody. So thank you. Thank you for making this podcast work for us for a year. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. So hopefully see a lot of folks tomorrow in the Celebratory Among Us stream, and then we'll be in touch with you, Synth, about your box. So that is the stuff we're doing for our 52nd episode. Before we actually go into the topics for today, I did want to do a shout out for the sponsor of the podcast, channelfireball.com. Look at that. Mashi's. Ooh, is that, what is that one? Is that a,
I think this is Belgium.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
Belgium.
Neat.
I have like Belgium and Germany confused. They're very
similar. Yeah. I was going to say Germany and then I stopped because I wasn't sure if I was about to be really ignorant. So I held back.
Oh, so you let me be the ignorant
well,
one?
Well, you have the shirt, dude. It's your responsibility to know what CFP shirt that
is. Wow.
I also have a Spain one that looks like somewhat similar to that one, too. A CFP shirt that looks similar to that one.
I think I flubbed it.
Was it Germany?
I think it might be Germany. I think Belgium might be Yeah, this is Germany. Belgium, same colors, but vertical.
Okay, opposite direction. Got it.
Yeah,
got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. So Germany.
That's sweet.
God. Don't tell Yona.
Yeah,
nobody needs
to know.
we're gonna edit that on post, right? That's all gonna be gone in post, right? We're gonna just snip it right now. Oh, it's Germany. There
Boom.
We go.
So cut perfectly into it. No one needs
saved
to
saved it. Saved it.
So currently. CFB has a magic fest in a box. It is a cool thing that is being pushed right now. It is basically the Grand Prix experience. If you don't get to go to Grand Prix, which surprise, none of us get to do that. So if you're interested in something like that, it comes with a bunch of fun stuff in it. It comes with packs. It comes with promos. It comes with like little counters. It just comes with the fun stuff that you would expect if you got to experience the magic fest online experience. Super fun thing. We've seen people be doing some openings for Magic Fest in a Box. I just like the fact that there's this, like, I did this thread. I don't know if you saw it, Mashi. It was the, I miss Grand Prix.
Oh my gosh. It was so good. I did see it and it was so good. And Luis actually was like, he messaged me. I was like, dude, this kind of messed me up. And it's true. Like you did a great job capturing the feel. You should link
Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, one day I just got inspired and I was sad because it was the weekend of Magic Fest Las Vegas, which to me that weekend is pretty important because like through all my years playing Magic Fest Las Vegas or Grand Prix Las Vegas at various points have always been just like such a reminder of why I love the Magic community and like and how much I love it and the place it has in my life. And at various like Magic Las Vegas's, I've done different things that just felt so important to me. Like we always do a Viper meetup and like that to me feels like such a tangible like, wow, look at this community we have of friends, like of people that I love seeing that I only really get to see at these times. And so I was like really sad the weekend of Magic Fest Las Vegas, thinking about the fact that it was that weekend that we couldn't go. And I wrote a thread that was like, here's the virtual Magic Fest experience that just made fun of all the tropes that you see when you go to a Magic Fest, like, you know, the coffee, the Starbucks line that's super long, or you rented a hotel. The hotel was like way smaller than you thought it was. You know, you
go
the convention center food. All you get is like chicken nuggets. Mm-hmm. Going to the prize wall and you like try to get like one of the cool prizes. You realize you don't have enough tickets for the cool stuff. You see somebody walking away with a giant novelty card, like all that Magic Fest experience. And I like that Magic Fest in the Box is like in some ways delivering that. Right. I know we can't have that full in-person experience, but it's nice to get a little piece of it. So if you want to check that out, I think it's channelfireball.com/magicfest. I'm not sure, actually. Let me double check.
It might be. I'll double check right now. It might be M-F-I-A-B.
M-F-I-A-B? M-F-I-A-B. It's not M-F-I-A-B, so... Ba-ba. Wow, I beefed it. I can't find it. I believe it's currently on the front page if you just look for it. It's right
there. It should be.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I don't know what the short URL for it is, but you can get some Magic Quest in a Box if you... Okay, yeah. Nah, we can't give a URL. It's like product/MagicFest /in-a-box. But if you just go to CFB's page, you can find it right there.
You'll see it.
Get a little bit of that slice of Magic Quest experience.
It's everything but the gathering.
Yeah.
That's kind of how we talk about it when we were slinging different marketing things. We thought that was kind of sad, so we didn't go with it.
It is a little sad.
Yeah. So, but definitely check out that Twitter. That Twitter, that whole thing you did was so
good. Yeah, I'll link it in the comments. I just wanted to capture some of that nostalgia. And I think a bunch of people were like, wow, I wasn't ready to cry when I read this Twitter thread, but here I am.
That one, I'll say that one. And you remember when Dennis actually tweeted out the sound of all the cards shuffling? Did you hear that?
Yes, I remember that.
That was another one that was, both of those were just like, whoa, I wasn't ready to like engage with this just now. And I didn't know what to expect when Dennis tweeted it and I played it and I was just like, oh my God. Like you just hear all the cards shuffling.
It just feels like you're at the convention center. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I want to go to a Magic tournament. Oh my God. Well, actually, this is going to be one of the topics we are talking about later today. So let's, how about we segue right into the stuff we're talking about today?
Sure. Do you want to keep it in this order or do you want to jump into that?
We could switch the order because now that kind of makes, like, I feel like it's a good segue. All right. So we're going to audible into switching the order that we were talking things in because of, like this thing we're talking about, like going to a Grand Prix. So one of the things, go ahead, Mashi.
I was just going to say, so earlier this week, Wizards announced that they're suspending in-store play until January. And I'm surprised they were that conservative with it. Likely further is, I think it's going to be like summer at the earliest. But this was in-store play in Europe because the conventional wisdom was that America was struggling a bit more with it and Europe was kind of through the hump and was going to be able to open back up. And they just recently said, no in-store play through January and possibly further in Europe. So these raise some really, really interesting questions because some people are up in arms over it, right? And we all know we have different comfort levels with where we're at with COVID and what's okay, what's not okay, et cetera. But it is really, really interesting, and Gabby and I were shooting stories back and forth in our own personal life, but what would it take for you to be comfortable, you know, just hanging out, playing in an LGS or going to a Magic Fest or any of those things?
Yeah. So we were, you know, unsurprised, this is going to come as a shock to no one, but we spent a lot of time before the show talking about stuff, the topics about the show, and then we actually like fire it up. But this makes sense, especially as we're heading into the colder months.
It's the right call. It's the right
absolutely
decision.
The right call. It did make me sad. I saw a lot of people lamenting that this is happening because I think some people found a bit of a reprieve going to their local shop. It felt like, hey, you know, things, it's kind of like the dog in the kitchen, like the everything is fine dog, like everything's going up in flames, but you know what, I get to go to my local shop and things are fine there and I feel better about things there because my friends are there and I get to play Magic and not kind of deal with this really kind of not great world we're living in these days. So I saw a lot of people. I remember seeing Mengu was one of the people who was really sad because he goes to his local shop. Things in Italy were like much better. As you all know, we've had him in the show before. He's like an avid cuber. He hangs out with his friends as his local shop. So he was lamenting that this is happening. It made me really sad for people worldwide that are, you know, unhappy that this is happening, even if they understand what's going on. But it also made me feel that I think about times when I've gone to Grand Prix and I feel like my Grand Prix experience now, if I ever were to go, would be so different. Like I cringe thinking about times where I didn't take hand sanitizer to a Grand Prix with me. Yeah. Or like, you know, I love the idea that you shake your opponent's hand at the end of the match to say good game, but like, I don't want to do that.
No more.
I want to like, you know what, you crushed it, fist bump or like elbow bump or something, right? It honestly like makes me physically uncomfortable to think about going to a Grand Prix and shaking people's hands and meeting people and stuff, like, and having that many people gathered at the same time. So it makes me wonder, Mosh, like, am I just messed up for life after this COVID thing? Like, do I just never go back to feeling comfortable ever again? Like, maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure. Like, how would you feel comfortable going to a Grand Prix now?
I think that this has just been a huge change. Like, I don't leave the house without, unless I'm just walking the dogs in the neighborhood, I don't leave the house without hand sanitizer, alcohol disinfectant wipes. I have those on me. Got the mask on, obviously. I travel, whether it's in the car or anywhere else. In my backpack right now, I have spare masks. Like, it's just, I think a lot of these things stay in place. For me, what I really think about is, there's a Fogo de Chão under us, and they're back open. You can sit outside, but they're still bringing, like, they still bring the meat to every table and then cut off a piece and give it to you.
Oh my God, that makes me anxious.
And I can't, I enjoy Fogo every once in a while. It's a fun little treat. And I'm just like, no, I don't care if I'm eating outside. It's going from table to table. People don't have their masks on because they're eating. Okay.
Right.
And what's happened now, though, and this is why I think we're at this point of no return, whether it's Fogo, whether it's magic, is in my mind, I'm like, no, they're breathing on it. There could be like minuscule kind of like the droplets.
Just particles.
Just talking.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just talking to you across the table, Gabby. And, oh, you know, here's the food. And so, and imagining that now, that's never going to go away. So even if there's something for COVID, we get a vaccine, God willing, and everything goes back to normal, the way I picture what's happening, it's like, I'm going to shake your hand, but there could be droplets on there. You're breathing on it or whatever. And it that's not going to go away. And now acknowledging that in my mind, and even before COVID, it's like, I don't really want steak that someone else has breathed on.
Yeah, that just sounds really unappealing.
Right? That feels really odd, right? But now I'm super conscious of it. And that consciousness doesn't go away, whether you're worried about COVID or whether you're just like, yeah, I don't want people breathing on my food. Like, that just feels weird to me. And they're breathing on their hands, as is natural, or maybe they're rubbing their nose or coughed or something like that. And then they didn't wipe their hands, or we don't know. We don't know where that hand's been. I don't, you know, so I think we're past the point of no return. Vaccine or no vaccine, how we have felt, and this is something that goes back to antiquity, to ancient Rome and before, how we feel about hygiene and cleanliness, it evolves, it changes. And I think this represents a fundamental shift in how we feel.
It's a cultural reset in some ways, right? Mm-hmm. Because all these things that I see, the other day, I had a thing on Facebook show up of me going to some concert a long time ago. It was like it was in Chicago. I forget the name of the, I don't remember. It's one of those huge concerts, the ones that.
Oh, like a festival.
A festival. Yeah. Like a music festival. I honestly can't remember. It's like an equivalent of a Coachella or something. Mm-hmm. And I just see me covered in mud, like, because that's how muddy everything was, with a bunch of friends, and we're all like, and we look so happy, you know, but I can't, first of all, I don't really, not really looking for more of that in my life. Like, I think I'm past those times at this point, but it also just, I was looking at it and I'm like, oh my God, like, what were we thinking? Yeah. And I had never thought anything of it back then, you know, like, I wouldn't have thought anything of it until like the whole COVID thing started. So I don't know, even traveling, like, I'm just going to want to travel with a mask for who knows how long. I can't imagine not traveling with a mask and a bunch of hand sanitizer now.
I mean, that's where the wipes come in too. It's like hand sanitizer before I sit in the seat. I'm like wiping it down, the handrest, wipe the back, everything. And the weird thing is, okay, so that's what you want to do. You want to have a mask on. When are you going to feel comfortable with the person sitting? I don't know if they're ever going to be able to, like, A, when do you feel comfortable having a total stranger sit next to you on an airplane? And B, because now there's a seat in between. They keep the middle seat empty, right? You can sit in the window, you can sit in the aisle. So that's one weird thing. Because, like, I guess you're smaller, but when you're my size, I don't know if I'm average height or maybe slightly above or whatever, your knees are going to be rubbing against each other. And that's just a weird
elbows too.
Thing. And elbows right there. How are you going to feel when that person doesn't have a mask on? Like, how, like, what, you know, and if you want to make this about magic, how are you going to feel going to your LGS and the person across from you is not wearing a mask, or the person next to you is not wearing a mask? You're like, when are you going to be comfortable with that?
Yeah. It's funny because I think there was a once upon a time, like months ago, where I felt like, Well, if there were a vaccine, I just feel totally comfortable to back going to back to normal, easy peasy, nothing's changed. But that's just not the case anymore. I feel like we've been living in this world long enough that the way I feel about stuff, like truly, it just gives me anxiety. Like when I think about that stuff, it makes me anxious. And I don't know if that's reversible. Like, I don't know if I'm ever really going to feel that different. The one thing that I think is good is that now that masks are so common, they used to be very common in other parts of the world. You know, in Asia, you see people wearing masks in the subway. Ain't no thing. Like, it's not a big deal. It's very common. But I think if you were walking around with a mask here in the US, people would look at you kind of sketchy, like, but why are you wearing a mask? Or like, oh, look at this germaphobe doesn't want...
Germaphobe.
Yeah, totally. Like, I think it would be, like, have a bad reputation. And I think at least now, like, that is gone. I don't think anybody looks at a mask now. It's like, if you're not wearing a mask, it's like, what are you doing? Like, dude.
So what's really common in Japan, I'll speak for Japan because I spent a lot of time there, is if you have a cold, if you have allergies even because you're sneezing or something, you wear a mask. Do you think that's going to be a default here? So, hey... Let's flash forward. There's a vaccine to COVID. So that's not a concern anymore. But now I have a cold and maybe I'm going to work or whatever. Do you think it's now the social norm is going to be you have to have a mask on the way it is in other countries?
I feel like in the US it's going to be less so. Because I just feel here in the US, even with COVID right now, we're still struggling to get people wear masks. So, and it's just true, right? So I think some people like... myself, I think if I had a cold these days and I were to go out, just out of consideration for the other people, I just want to wear a mask. If I were traveling, absolutely. But I think there's going to be a bunch of people who are going to be like, okay, well, there's a vaccine now. Like, why are you wearing masks? It doesn't matter anymore. And we're going to be seeing, I'm sure we're going to see a lot of articles and thought pieces about like mask etiquette after like the vaccine comes out.
I think it's just more going to be what are your expectations for others.
That's true.
And one of the things I hope really happens here, because like this isn't just a bad thing. Like I said, these cultural norms for cleanliness and hygiene, they change. And wouldn't it be great if the results here is, okay, we have a vaccine for COVID, but because of these practices we have, we see rates of the flu go down and other things like that start to go down because we're taking better care. And that would be a great denouement to all this, like that. This is the lesson we learned, and we've gotten better about it. And I think that would be wonderful. So hopefully we get there. There are it's not all doom and gloom. There's humans, animals, but humans, we are so great at finding workarounds. Necessity is the mother of invention. There's things like spell table where you can still play magic with physical cards with each other over the distance. You can bond. It's actually, I think, Watsi's acquired it now. So it's like, it's a real thing. Yeah. And it's a way to connect and it's a way to play. And I don't know what else. I mean, I think that this is a great move from Wizards of the Coast. It's what I want to see. And it'll be interesting to see how things play out when in the future, when there is a vaccine or when things have settled down a bit more, maybe pre-vaccine, what steps TOs take, what steps stores have to take, what steps Wizards has to take to ensure safety.
Absolutely. Like even with a vaccine, I feel like I would expect and I don't think I would feel very comfortable going to a tournament where there weren't hand sanitizer stations like everywhere. Agreed. That's just not a thing that you ever saw before, right? Like I don't think
we had them at Magic Fest.
Yeah.
Which was actually awesome for us at Channel Fireball because we had dispensers and they came with these like 5-gallon bags of hand sanitizer. So remember when everything shut down with COVID, hand sanitizer was hard to come by.
Yeah.
But we had 5 gallon bags in the warehouse of hand sanitizer. Amazing. And so the problem was you need the dispenser to like get it out.
Right,
because
so it's in a big bag.
Right. We were trying to find ways. And the way the dispenser does it is it comes out as a foam. Mm-hmm. And so we were trying to find ways to like distribute it to our staff and anyone
that's
who wanted
really
it.
That's really funny.
It was really funny. So yeah, we did have them. But yeah, now it's a must.
Yeah.
And what do we need?
Like,
partitions?
I would like to see a hand sanitizer entering the Grand Prix. Like it would be nice to see everybody everywhere. Just hand sanitize as soon as they come in. Like I know that would make me feel a lot more comfortable or... just having stations all around so that when you're heading to the match, you can just go like, then go play. And just, I guess, generally speaking, like I think if the fist bump were more socially acceptable as a thing that you can do,
I believe
it's going to become the new way to shake hands. Like, hey, you crushed it. Like, bump.
I'm on the elbow.
Yeah.
I'm on the elbow. And hey, look, obviously half Japanese, nothing wrong with the bow.
Yeah.
Shows respect. Great match. Thank you. Like, I'm good with that too. Yeah,
I have been bested. Yes. You have bested me.
You've bested me.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to the most about getting back into Paper Magic?
Oh man, I honestly just want to see my friends. It's really I realized now, like, I truly love Magic. That's part of the reason that you hear me be really upset when we were having the episode discussion last week of like, oh my god, like, I don't understand what's going on with Pro Play. Like, I feel like this thing I love is getting away from me. But really, like, the Gathering is the thing that has always kept me around in Magic. When I lived in Chicago, my first like group of friends there was formed because I just met them at the LGS, and I'm still friends with many of them today. And I just look forward to a combination of actually shuffling cards with my hands, because that's like such a nice feeling, you know, like going like, which I haven't done in so long. And, you know, getting squished going to look at my pairings is just, you know, time-honored tradition for me, because I'm really small too. And actually just going somewhere else, like, I really like Denver's great, but it's just like that GP thread that I made, the name of the place you were going to was literally anywhere away from home, because like,
yep.
It just doesn't really matter where you go, right? It's just somewhere that isn't home for you right now. So yeah, going literally anywhere away from home would be nice. How about you, Mashi?
You know, for me, it's just the hang. I want to hang.
Me too.
You know, I mean, a lot of the tactile stuff, I was at the warehouse, the new Channel Fireball warehouse, this last week, just got back yesterday, and there was just a stack of lands there, and we were having all these meetings because most of the senior management team was there in the same room. We were talking. And I just picked up 7 lands, and I just started like riffling them in my hands while I was talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which most people are used to. I know it can be annoying, but I do this a lot in live meetings. And so most of the team's used to it at this point. So, but you know, I've spent more time at GPs and Magic Fest now just birding while people are playing. Cause
yeah, it's so much fun. Side of it. Yeah. No, yeah. Absolutely.
But dinner afterwards, hanging out, like even just going to the LGS.
Sometimes when you just play like Pack Wars or like the stupid little games at the bar when you're done. Oh my god,
awesome! Yeah, I mean,
I'm like, those dream are of
things
that.
I'm missing. Yeah,
me too.
That's what I want. I want to hang. You know, I just want to have a good time. So that's my biggest thing. We're gonna get there. We're gonna get there. And I think there's so many of us just want that. Just want to, because we can play Magic. We have Arena. We have Magic Online. Okay, that's great. And one of the things that's come into perspective is Magic is a reason, but for some of us, and I'll put my, it's kind of the excuse, right? It's the excuse to get together. It's the excuse to hang out. It's the excuse to fly to Vegas for whatever and hang and do those things. And I miss having that.
Yeah.
I got more Magic than I've played in years. Now I've got the Magic.
Right. And, right. You're like, Arena's there. I'm jamming all the time.
All the time.
There's been plenty of tournaments I've gone to without even playing. Like, I just went as like GP birding, basically.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're telling me.
Yeah. I guess you've got a lot more experience than me at that. But yeah, I miss it. I totally get the feel of like wanting to just shuffle cards. The Wizard sent me some stuff. I forget what it was. Hashtag sponsored, because they did send me some stuff. But I opened those packs.
You always send me some stuff. Hashtag sponsored. Yeah. Some stuff.
I didn't even remember what it was. But I just cracked open the packs, and on my stream, I was just like playing with the cards, and people were like, "Wow, like that sound of you shuffling the cards." And I was like, "Yeah, man, it feels so good." I think this is one of the things that came in one of those packs. It's like one of those.
That's full art. What's her face?
This is a new Linvala. It's like the new like collect. I think they're set boosters. I think that's what they're called. That come with a full art card. And so I was just like shuffling on my stream. I missed it so much. So
that came. Wait, that wasn't special from Wizards. That was part of the pack, or the.
This was in the pack. Yeah, this was in the pack. Whoa, super cool, right? Cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah,
these I believe you can get these in set boosters. And for those who don't have the video version, these are basically, it's a Magic card that is just artwork. Like. From top to bottom, like the entire thing is just.
And that Linvala is a great piece of art too. It looks really, really.
This is Linvala Shield of the Seagate, 77 out of 81. They're the Zendikar Rising art series. They're pretty neat.
And you can like sack her to give your team hexproof or indestructible.
I don't remember what she does, cool but stuff. She's yeah. a cool card.
She's a 3-mana 3/3 flyer, so she's good in draft. You know what I mean? All right, we had some other happenings this week. Athena Frolic was brought on as a full-time employee for Wizards of the Coast. She's been a contractor up till now, doing a bunch of I guess she handles a bunch of their social media and stuff. But there is a policy at Wizards of the Coast where, and I don't want to, I'm not an expert on this policy. I think it's just like spouse or family member you live with can't be part of the pro tour or part of the professional whatever. And of course, Eric Frolic is in Rivals, and he had to bow out. And one of the things that happened is as she got hired, he had to bow out. And that just happened this week.
Yeah. So I believe, once again, I also don't like, we don't have that policy written out because I don't think that's available for public consumption. But I believe it is a significant other that you live with or.
Oh, so you could live with someone if you're dating. Wow. Okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So I believe it's if it's your significant other and you live together, this applies to you. Or if you are immediate family. So I think like cousins maybe doesn't apply, but
brothers don't apply.
But as long as they don't live together.
As long as they don't live together.
Yes.
Okay.
The rule is about living together. So the rule is if you live together with an immediate family member or your significant other and you work for Wizards of the Coast, then you can't compete in like the pro stuff, essentially is the way that rule works.
If you're married, you don't have to, I mean, most spouses live together, but if you're married, it's just, you're just done. You don't have to cohabitate for that.
I don't know if that's true actually. Cause I remember at some point Randy was like, well, what if I had this like shed in the back? And Del was like, well, if you do that, we're maybe not going to be married. So don't even think about it.
Yeah. Well, if you do that, we could solve it a different way. We won't be married anymore.
Yeah, so exactly. So right, once again, we don't know exactly all the parameters under which this falls, but in essence is if your significant other or an immediate family member that you live with works at Wizards of the Coast, you can no longer compete in the high level Magic stuff. And it also caps the kinds of tournaments you can enter because it used to be that you couldn't enter anything. And then they realized that was just too aggressive, like no need to make it so restrictive. So now you can enter stuff as long as it's like under a certain price limit. And it's a really low limit. Like it's fine to enter FNM, for example, or like some sort of like 1K. But I think like you couldn't do the arena stuff. You certainly couldn't be in Rivals or the MPL. I don't think you could even enter a Grand Prix.
You couldn't.
Because it was a high enough prize if you did well enough. But you could enter like a side event at a Grand Prix. So that's
no, for a while you couldn't do that.
They stopped letting you do that?
Because for a while that was off limits. Because I remember when they opened all that up. Because the same policy, all of this applies to significant others and family members, but also applies to Wizards employees.
Okay.
Because I remember there were certain events that Wizards employees could play in.
Yeah, I remember that too.
Couldn't play in. And then the policy changed. They were like, yay, we can play in everything. You know, not the main event, but side
events. Like side events, which is sometimes all you really want to play in. But anyway, so Athena getting hired basically forced Eric to step down from Rivals. And then Austin Vrsevich was invited to Rivals in his stead. This is the same Austin Vrsevich, which we've talked about on Magic FM before, who almost got banned from Magic this year, by the way.
Oh, he did get banned.
Oh, no, that's right. You're right. He actually did get banned. And then he got unbanned.
He appealed.
Yeah. Yes. And then he got unbanned. So wild year, by the way, from like almost can't play Magic anymore to being in Rivals.
It's a crazy ride.
Not too shabby. But what we wanted to talk about here is like this policy just in general, like what... It seems like it's very arbitrary to me in some ways, and I can't really figure out what it's supposed to really accomplish.
It's an anti-nepotism policy, right? Just right off the bat, it's meant to prevent nepotism. And we do this, like Channel Fireball does this historically. We've done this for things like Byleth Bonanza.
Right.
Right. We don't, it's significant others. I think actually we might have included spouses.
I remember that when the Bonanza was going on, this is before I was working with CFB, I couldn't win it.
Yeah.
Because I lived with Louise. So yeah, that makes sense. But the thing where this breaks down a little bit for me is that it's supposed to be like, oh, if your significant other is working at Wizards, you can get this like competitive advantage or something like that. But it just seems like, well, Reed and Ian don't live together. Like Reed Duke, Ian Duke, they don't live together. Reed Duke is, you know, part of Team CFB, Hall of Famer. Ian Duke works in R&D.
Yeah.
And somehow that's okay, but just because they don't live together. Why is living together the thing there?
Isn't that
weird? And it's obviously no beef to absolutely anybody we're talking about here, but like, why is it okay for Reed and Ian to, that this is fine, but not Eric and Athena or Randy and Dell? It just seems so strange to me. And multiple people kind of chimed in with wanting to see some changes to the policy, because it seems like there's quite a few people who run into this like significant other that I live with situation. So what was it? Emma Handy sent out a tweet saying, in something semi-related to other stuff going on, the thing she's referring to is Athena getting hired. I really wish that WotC's play policy would shift regarding partners / immediate family members being allowed to play. Don't have more words that don't run the risk of breaching contract, but my life would be concretely better without it.
So I think that there are lines that can be drawn here. And I do also want to play devil's advocate, because I think it's a little bit more interesting discussion too.
Yeah.
I think that there is a palpable difference between significant others and spouses and family members. And I will speak as an attorney, though I don't practice anymore, but I'm married to an attorney and she does practice.
This is not legal advice, by the way.
There are things we discuss, as you know, because we both have legal educations. And for a while we were practicing, both practicing at the same time and stuff. But I mean, and I'm sure anyone with a significant other or a spouse can understand this, where you come home and talk about work. And you probably share information that's confidential that you probably shouldn't, but you talk about it because it's your wife or it's your husband or it's your partner. You do that. And you do that mainly because they're there. You know, you're going to bed at night or you're waking up in the morning or you had a rough day or you had a great day and you talk about that. And that's natural. That's human nature. And part of that, I think you do engage because you're home at dinner together or, you know, they are physically present. Maybe you would do it on a phone call too, but that's a little bit more artificial. One of the things I've learned in COVID, for instance, is spontaneous conversations I will have with the people that I would have had were we in the office together don't happen as much. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a bona fide thing. And so you have to wonder, like, let's say, you know, some discussion about change to organized play happens. Is there a problem if Athena's a decider and Ifro hears all about it ahead of time?
Yeah, I mean, there absolutely is.
And or is there a problem? Is there a problem instead of being married to or they have to fill the spot, right? Because Jerry left, they had to fill that spot, you know.
Right.
And she comes home and says, what metrics do you think would be good? I mean, you know, you have really insight into this, Eric. And then he knows, well, yeah, if you use these metrics.
Well, if you use these metrics, these would benefit me. Yeah.
Right. Or what if instead of being married to Ifro, she's married to Austin? Would there be a problem there?
Yeah,
someone drops out of Rivals or the NPL, and lo and behold, full-time employee, you know, Mashi Scanlon's wife is now named Rivals. Do you think people would have a problem with that?
But so here's the thing. So I totally understand everything you're saying. That all makes sense to me. The thing that's strange to me is, where do Ian and Reed fall in that spectrum? Like, why is that okay? They don't live together, but they're brothers. And yeah, absolutely. I'm sure Ian knows things that could help Reed. And I'm not saying that they're sharing that information, but like, why is that okay? But Eric has to step down and no longer play Magic. Or, you know, Randy is also one of the people who loves the game so much, and he can't do it because Del works. I think she works in like the rules committee or something. I don't remember.
I don't know. I think she is still at WotC? I thought I heard something where he could play again now.
Oh, wow. Okay, I don't know. But last I knew, Randy Hall of Famer couldn't play because Dell worked at Wizards. It just seems like it's a weird line to draw in the sand, even though I recognize that it's an important rule to exist. it just seems strange to me. And from other people that seem to have been affected by this rule, multiple people are saying, like, I wish this were implemented more concretely, or I wish the rules weren't so murky about this. So it clearly, even with the people who are affected by this, it's not.
Well, I think we got to be careful, because I don't think the rule's murky. I think maybe what, because I think there are bright lines that are very clear to the people who are affected by it. There isn't a gray area here. I think the gray area lies in, why does it apply here and not here? I think that's where.
Okay, that's a better way to frame it. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
And there's a lot going into the current state of magic that we probably have to abstract from for why there's a rule like this. For instance, someone getting nominated and directly put into Rivals and MPL, I think that feels problematic, right? Like, wait a minute. But they're also married to or related to a full-time member of a staff of Wizards of the Coast. That's problematic, because that doesn't feel merit-based. That feels like, what, did you just happen to pull your life's name out of a hat? Yeah, did you just happen to
sneak their name in there?
Did you just keep hitting reroll till Synthetica came up? You know, I mean, like, things like that happen. So, and you've got to make sure that you have that appearance that there's no impropriety. But the other side of this is, I mean, look at pro play right now, Gabby. Like, first, before you tell me that everyone would be fine with this and no favoritism would be there, explain to me exactly how you go from not in Rivals into Rivals into the MPL. Just do that succinctly for me, so we all understand that so-and-so earned their way in. They didn't get there because of favoritism. If you can do that for me, I'll be way more on board with
this. This is entrapment, Mashi. I can't explain anything about pro play to you.
And I think that is self-inflicted harm. Right? Like, there's a very real thing there. Where, I think the other side of this is... One of the other sides of this too is, forget getting into Rivals in the MPL, which is just, that is truly murky.
Right.
And understand that. I think one of the things that you got to be terrified with is, what happens if it's Dell and Randy, or if it's Athena and Eric? And I mean, maybe, I don't know if this is a thing with Ian and Reed, maybe it is, but you know, that there's a judge call at a high profile event, paper, not arena. It's a little bit, you know.
Sure.
And the ruling goes in favor of Randy or Eric instead of the opponent. And that's the match.
Wow.
And
that's the title. Oh my God. I hadn't even really thought about that. That would be horrendous. That's a huge optics problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right about that.
So, and especially if it's something like drawing extra cards, like, hey, no intent, you're off the hook, you get a warning or whatever, like something about that, like, oh, I forgot that they paid kicker on this card, or I forgot that was this counter was a hexproof counter. You know, like, these are things that happen when you play Magic, even at the highest level, you know, or I forgot to tick up my Ajani, and you know, whatever it is. So I think that this is largely an optics thing. And I think that it does unfairly punish. The reason this becomes an issue in our community is because very inbred.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, if it, like, for instance, the Ian in Reed thing is interesting. What if it was back in college days and Luis and Paul still lived together?
Yeah. What happens then?
You didn't know them then. You know them now. They were like brothers. I mean, they still are, but like basically brothers. But I mean, the way they, and you can see the way they interact, the way they just constantly bag on each other and the pranks they play on each other. Like, those guys are so close.
But isn't it weird? Like, let's use that hypothetical. Okay. So we're back in college and they live together. And let's say that instead of going on the pro tour and streaming or whatever, Paul goes works at Wizards and Luis is still playing in the pro tour. Isn't it so weird that they're roommates and they're like, okay, well, Luis is going to have to step down from Rivals, assuming that there were Rivals back then, whatever, like, we could just
right
the hypothetical Rivals. And they're like, no, instead what we're going to do is we're just going to get two apartments, and that solves the whole problem. Like, isn't that weird?
And that
it's
is very
so
artificial.
Weird. I think it's so it weird.
It is weird. It is weird.
It's really weird.
One of my favorite authors, he's passed now, he and his wife got divorced. They couldn't live together. They got divorced and they couldn't live apart. So what they ended up doing, this is a real story. Robert B. Parker, he wrote the Spencer for Hire series. They were in Boston. They bought a duplex. She lived in one. He lived in the other. They shared all their meals together. But they had their alone time. So it's literally a duplex where the wife lived in one and the husband lived in the other, because that's how they made. And they were in love and lifelong, and it was a great relationship. But that's what they needed to make their relationship work. Would that be okay?
That's so weird. Yeah, like, does a duplex count? Technically, a duplex is two addresses.
Yeah. I don't live with someone because they live in the condo next to me. That's not my roommate.
Yeah. Right? Okay. So let's say that. What if Athena and Eric just buy a duplex and they just own a big duplex, and like, can Eric now play in
yeah, Rivals? Assuming, I don't know how it works for spouses, but if it's a cohabitation thing, I think, yeah, he's in. He's fine. But at what point do those optics look bad? At what point, when we're talking about optics?
You're clearly just gaming the system at that point. Right. Obviously, nobody would be okay with that. I'm not advocating for that. It just seems, when I hear about this policy and I see multiple people bring up, hey, this policy's heinous, like, this policy really has made my life a lot worse, and it seems like it's inconsistent across the board, it just makes me feel like, why is cohabitation the thing that matters? Why is it okay for Randy and, or excuse me, Reed and Ian? Why isn't it okay to get a duplex? What would have happened to Luis and Paul if this would have been a long time ago? It all just makes me feel like this exists, and I believe it exists for a good reason, but maybe the implementation and the guidelines around it are just kind of weird and sketchy.
I'm going to shout out my old PE instructor, Mr. Lauterbach. He used to say, forewarned is fair warned, all the time. That was like his big thing when he would lay down different rules and stuff. And I think, to their credit at least, Wizards has done a good job here. And it's terribly painful. Like, you don't get to choose who you fall in love with. That's not something a lot of us have, or any of us really have agency over. But whether you want to pursue competitive magic, and, you know, whether you want to apply for a job at Wizards of the Coast, and all those things are within your control. This is an unfortunate detriment. It's a factor, but at least it's known, right? No one's pulling the rug out from anyone. It's unfortunate. It's, you know, I don't want to say it's a good rule or a great rule. I just think there are nepotism concerns and reasons that this rule is in place. And at least it's very, very well known. I think everybody knows about this rule. And we're stuck with it. This is not something that I think is going to change. Like, different things.
No, I doubt this would change. And to their credit, with what you said, it's well known. When people apply to work at Wizards of the Coast, it's not like you're suddenly going to look at fine print when you're accepting your offer and you're like, oh, there was this thing I didn't know. Wow, they got me good. It's like, no, this was well known and probably well established before you started working there, that this is something that could have happened. So clearly, like, Eric and Athena had to go into this eyes wide open when she started working there, that this was one of the outcomes that could happen.
Well, and this was actually just the outcome. I mean, in all fairness, if I understand the situation, this is kind of the outcome they were shooting for, right? Because she was a contractor, and there must have been hopes that she would be offered a full-time position.
Right.
So this isn't even like, oh no, this happened. This is like, oh, hey, we got it. We got there. You know, I think that's kind of what it is.
I would assume so. I mean, Wizards does a lot of contract positions to start. Like, a lot of times you won't get hired. Some people do, obviously, but not everybody. Some people get a 1-year contract and then you reapply to get hired there.
That's how they do most of their hiring.
Yeah, I think that the majority of their hiring does happen that way. Mm. So I would assume that this is a good outcome, right? Even though it's bittersweet in many ways. And they just had to know about it. So you can't really feel that bad about it when you were well aware going into it. I think it would definitely be a lot worse if you didn't know this was a thing at all, and then just got you, and you're like, we moved all the way out to Seattle, and now what? Like,
can you imagine if you didn't know, and it was like, hey, great, Gabby, great job. Hey, we love you here. We're going to hire you. There's one thing before you sign the contract, that the employment contract, that you should know. Luis is going to have to give up professional magic. But other than that, everything's fine. You know what I mean? Like, that would
just be like, it'd just be like, excuse me?
Yeah. The other drawback here is, One of the great things about our community is we have a very tight-knit community. And this is where you kind of feel the drawback of it. It's like, but this is who I know. These are the people I'm interacting with. Of course, this is where I'm going to find love. Of course, this is where I'm going to find connection. And that's an unfortunate drawback. Like, I this is the other side of the knife, because that's one of the great things about it. When you have a good community, there's this connection that happens. Like, you play magic, I play magic.
Do you know this person? I know this person.
You know, and that's awesome. And so this is the drawback. But yeah, it's unfortunate. And honestly, like, I feel bad for Randy and Doc. I feel bad for Athena and Eric. I feel bad for, you know, everyone. Emma, who was tweeting about this having an effect on her life. I feel bad for all of them. I think this is just, it's rough.
Yeah.
It's rough. So, well, there it is. Put a bow on it. You know what? You know what I'm really happy about, Gabby? Mm. Besides doing this for a year, this is our 1-year episode. we're not talking about bands.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, we did it. Don't worry. We'll be back to it next week, probably.
Okay.
Actually,
yeah.
I think Standard's been fun. A lot of people just little update on some of the previous episodes. A lot of people like Standard these days. That's pretty cool. Yeah. An update on The Walking Dead. You know, people are playing Glenn in Legacy decks. No, Rick. Excuse me. Rick, not Glenn.
Rick is the one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rick Rick in Legacy decks, which I've seen a lot of people talk about how funny it is because there's a one thing to go like, and I will cast Linvala, Shield of the Seagate. You know, like I'll cast my Linvala. And then the next person in Legacy goes, and I'll cast Rick.
Yeah. That's not fair though, because sometimes like I'll play Bob.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I mean, that's no one
nickname.
Said I'm going to cast
it's Dark a nickname, Confident. Dude.
That's true. Insane. That's true.
I just thought so many people laughing about it because they were like, and I will cast Rick.
Yep. Rick, go.
Yeah, Rick, go. So yeah, some Legacy decks are playing like two of Rick. A little update on some of the previous Magic FMs we've done.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been so fun, Gabby. This was such an exciting project. And I'm lucky because you needed help and we got connected. And it's been a great year. And I'll just say personally, I've just enjoyed we're on very different parts. It's weird. We're on very different parts of the gaming side of the business. But there's this weird way, like you're very highly educated when it comes to business. I'm not. I'm learning as I go. And there's just different ways we get to connect. And of course, we both love Luis. And so this has just been a pure joy for me. And I appreciate
it. Yeah, no, it's been really awesome.
Yeah. So I hope you guys have enjoyed this. If you haven't subscribed, it's been a year. Give us, you know, hit the subscribe button, you know. And if you have subscribed and you've been with us for a year, leave us a review. Share your thoughts. You know, we look at those. So thank you so much for all that. Apple Podcast reviews. That helps the podcast. When you give us a review, you know, that's going to be a one-star review. Then just DM us. But if it's going to be a good review, leave the review. And I don't even want them tweeting it, Gabby. Just DM. Just DM. Leave a good review. We really appreciate it. It means the world to us. It means the world to us that you're still listening to us and hanging out with us and engaging with us week over week. And we really love that. Congratulations to Synthetica. Everyone I've talked to, because you know Riley and not Riley, but Dennis and stuff, super excited for Among Us. I'm pumped. I'm a little nervous because I'm not.
It's
I'm
gonna
like,
be
I'm
great,
like,
dude.
You know,
I'm stoked for this thing tomorrow. It's gonna be wonderful.
It's gonna be a great time. So thank you, Gabby. Thank you, everyone, for 1 year. It's been amazing. Check out our podcast on Twitter at Magic FM Podcast. I am Mashi Scanlon at Mashi Scanlon. The guy on the left, she's Gabby Spartz at Gabby Spartz. Also want to remind you, we do have a code, an affiliate code for channelfireball.com. You sign up for CFB Pro, you sign up for Channel Fireball. Use that code Magic FM. That supports us. That supports this podcast and all of Gabby's great content. You can see more of that content at twitch.tv/GabbySparks. And I encourage you to do so. It's a great audience. It's a great chat. It's a great place to just hang out. You know, I was saying I miss the hangs. That's how you get it now. You go, you find a great influencer with a great chat and you go hang. So go do that. twitch.tv/GabbySparks. That does it for this week. That does it for this year. This is our 1 year. So
next episode's going to be season two, baby. Season two.
Get ready for it. We have to figure out how to make it exciting. Yeah. I don't know what we're going to do unless
it's
going to
be bands again.
Yeah,
in a shocking twist, it's going to be more bands.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Until next week, be wonderful to yourselves. Be wonderful to each other. Take care.
Bye-bye.